Hello there, and welcome to a festive edition of IASB Update. I'm joined here by Stephen Cooper, a member of the IASB, and we're going to be going through some of the points covered in the board meeting held on the 12th December 2013 at the IASB offices in London. Just a quick disclaimer before we begin, all views are those of the presenter and not necessarily those of the IASB. So Stephen, welcome, and if you'd like to kick off, I think we're going to cover equity methods first of all.
Okay, thanks Chris. So this is the equity method of accounting and how to account for the share of other net asset changes. So items which appear in equity of the investee company. The ISB issued an exposure draft in November 2002 proposing some limited amendments to IAS 28 in this regard. There's diversity in practice in this area, and we felt this was the best way to eliminate that. The proposal in the exposure draft was that an item which is recognised in the equity of the investee is also then recognised as an equity movement in the financial statements of the investing company, applying the equity method. We had a lot of feedback on this. We've discussed it now in a couple of meetings. The tentative decision of the board at this meeting is to go ahead with the proposal in the ED. It seems to many board members that it is the least bad way of achieving harmonisation and convergence in this area, eliminating diversity. However, I think many of us do recognise that there are more fundamental issues with the equity method. So I think the ISB regards this as a short-term solution to address this diversity in practice until we have the opportunity of revisiting the principles of equity method more fundamentally. I think this whole project has illustrated some of the deficiencies that there are within the equity method. Mm-hmm. So it's a tentative decision. The board has requested that staff do an element of further analysis on the application of these requirements to specific fact patterns. We'll reconsider that in a future meeting and then confirm on the way forward to solve this problem that's now been going on for some time. So hopefully we can get to a position of eliminating this diversity, even if it's not the perfect answer for the long term.
Okay, great. So we look forward to further updates on that in the future. So moving on, financial instruments. Two topics discussed during this meeting: impairment and classification of measurement.
Yeah, we're nearing the end of our re-deliberations on both of those two subjects. We only have limited things to look at next year: disclosure, transition, and the like, effective date. On the impairment, we deliberated on loan commitments and financial guarantee contracts, and also on the transitions and effect analysis. We'd actually discussed loan commitments and financial guarantee contracts at the last meeting. At that, we confirmed that the general principle that we had in the exposure draft, that is that you look over the maximum period over which expected credit losses are outstanding. The period is the contractual period over which you're committed to lend credit for the purpose of assessing expected credit losses. Except in the last meeting, we did make an exception for revolving credit facilities where we said that you would look at the behavioural life of those. We reconfirmed that at this meeting. We had considered at this meeting a possibility of whether we should extend the behavioural approach to other loan commitments and financial guarantees, but the board decided not to do that and therefore confirmed the tentative position that it had the previous meeting. We also confirmed that the entity would use the same discount rate in measuring these amounts as you would use for estimating expected credit losses on the drawn amounts. We also made a decision about the presentation, that you would present these amounts together if you can't separately identify the expected credit losses associated with the undrawn balance. So really tidying up decisions that we made previously. We also had a paper on transition and effects analysis. We reconfirmed the transition approach that was in the exposure draft. However, we did propose that we would perhaps relax the requirements in terms of the information that was necessary to apply the retrospective application. We said that we would clarify an entity could approximate the credit risk on initial recognition by considering the best available information that's available without due cost and effort. So that approach will hopefully make the retrospective application of the standard rather less costly and more easy to apply. And that, I think, that the board felt it that was a better outcome than defaulting to the simplified approach.
Sure.
that we had in the exposure draft in a greater number of circumstances.
Okay.
So then you mentioned classification and measurement. We discussed just one topic in that, which is the fair value option and whether it should be extended to financial instruments measured at fair value through rather comprehensive income.
Mm-hmm.
We have a fair value option for amortized cost assets, which an entity is free to apply if it would eliminate or significantly reduce an accounting mismatch, a recognition or measurement inconsistency. And we decided that we would extend that to fair value OCI assets under the same conditions. So that was just the one decision we made in that area.
Okay, great stuff. More fair value measurement this time regarding unit of account. That was another discussion.
Yeah, that's right. That's fair value measurement where you have a portfolio of instruments which have similar market risks. There's an exception within the fair value measurement standard IFRS 13, so you can look at the net position, and this is all to do with the bid-ask spread and what position within the bid-ask spread you determine fair value. There's been an issue about whether looking at a portfolio on that basis changes the unit of measurement and whether the unit of measurement becomes the portfolio, in which case it opens up the question of whether further premiums or discounts applicable at the portfolio level should be applied. The board confirmed that that's not the case, that the unit of account remains the individual instrument level in these circumstances. I think what we propose to do would be to provide an illustration, add an illustration to the standard to confirm that or to provide some clarity on exactly how that should be applied. And we'll include that in an exposure draft that we're proposing to put out that clarifies the fair value measurement of quoted investments in subsidiaries and joint ventures and associates. This is an area that we've previously deliberated and are going to issue an exposure draft on that. So this draft, this illustration that we're thinking of putting in would be included in that for public comment.
Thank you, Stephen. So that's about it for us for 2013. Our next a board meeting will take place between the 21st and the 24th of January 2014. We also have the meeting of the trustees of the IFRS Foundation taking place in Milan. That's on the 27th and the 28th of January. And also the IFRS Interpretations Committee meeting taking place in London on between the 29th and the 30th of January. So a fairly busy start of the new year for us. If you want a comprehensive written update of the December board meeting, that is available, as always, on our website. So please do download that. Other than that, thank you very much, and have a very happy new year. We'll see you again in January. Bye.